The universe is huge. The universe is complex. Everything in it is connected to everything else, and it knows who you are and sometimes wants to show you things. Andromeda Klein's front wheel sliced through a shallow puddle, spattering yet more mud on her boot ankle, glazing the grassy embankment on the left side of the bike path. "Trismegistus," she said under her breath, invoking the Egyptian god Thoth, lord of language and magic. And, if the theories of Mrs. John King Van Rensselaer were to be believed, the god upon whose ancient temple at Hermopolis the book now known as the Tarot was based. This oath, an expression of frustration, had nothing to do with the puddle or the boots. Muddy boots are nothing but badass. It was rather an offhand, grumpy plea for insight, for clarity. And the answer came almost immediately into view. A discarded, half-crushed styrofoam takeout box floating in a flooded storm drain had two plastic knives lying crossed on top of it. "Okay, I get it," she muttered. The Two of Swords. She had drawn it from her tarot deck in the girls' bathroom before leaving school that day, and here it was again, floating in the gutter, and with a box to boot. Sometimes the universe was subtle, other times it hit you over the head like it thought you were stupid. One dream, one card, an otherworldly instant message, and dozens of sinks involving swords, boxes, and the vexing case of twice holy soror Daisy Wasserstrom. It had been an unusually Ouija week. She rose from the seat to pedal up the hill. "The universe," continued the silent lecture in her head, "chooses to show itself in tiny flashes, revealing connections amongst its diverse elements at odd moments." "Coincidence," say the unobservant or the spiritually obtuse, when they notice them at all. And such they are. Points where aspects of reality coincide or overlap from this or that perspective. But educated people, adepts and scholars, seers and magicians, the Ouija people, know them as sinks, since the common understanding of coincidence implies something accidental, and there are no accidents.
"So what do you think would happen, Dave?"
Andromeda continued, out loud now, practicing a well-rehearsed portion of her tarot lecture, "to an adept armed with a perfect model of the universe." Dave Klein was Andromeda's cat, upon whom she often practiced her orations, and to whom she tended to address them without regard to his physical presence. He was a tough audience either way, and his steely stare would, she imagined, prepare her for the hostile response of many of her students when, far in the future, she would deliver her notorious series of lectures on magic theory and practice in a hidden underground hall in the secret labyrinth beneath the Warburg Institute in London. The answer was, of course, that such a model of the universe in the hands of a skilled adept became a laboratory for generating and observing sinks at several times their naturally occurring rate. In the ancient temple of Thoth Hermes Trismegistus, itself a compact model of the universe, magicians cast rods or arrows on the central altar and noted the results. Which temple symbols they pointed to, and in what number, teasing out the significant sinks and interpreting them. The modern tarot pack was, in a sense, a portable temple. Shuffling and laying out the cards invited such sinks, grand and trivial, though interpreting them was never a straightforward matter. That was Andromeda Klein's best, simplest answer for why and how the tarot worked, aware though she was that her views on the matter were controversial. The tarot was a collapsible temple, a laboratory, a sink factory. If anyone ever bothered to ask, she would be ready, and this answer would figure prominently in her Warburg lectures, to be published in volumes 3 through 4 of her soon-to-be-celebrated, as yet unwritten work of magical history, theory, and practice, Lieber K. The main road in front of the school parking lot had no bike lane. This period immediately after school let out was perilous. It was impossible to know for certain which after-school clusters of students would be overtly hostile, but it was wise to avoid them all, just in case. This required a zigzag pattern, crossing from one side of the street to the other as necessary. They could throw rocks at you or even thrust a stick through your spokes to knock you off your bike, and then, well, it had never happened to her, but she'd seen it happen to others, and she didn't want to find out what they would do next. A few kids yelled at her unintelligibly as she zipped past, or at least she was pretty sure she was the one they were yelling at. Some unpleasant variation on her name, perhaps, or the perennial favorite, "No ass." It was nice of them to take the time to bring it to her attention, but Andromeda Klein, as it happened, needed no reminder of that particular deficiency. She was well aware.